to thank your minister for the very, very warm words of welcome. It's lovely to be here in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church tonight. I appreciate the opportunity to come and share a word of personal testimony. I bring you greetings from Carrie Duff FPC, and we wish you every blessing down here as one of the towns as we think about on the frontier of our wee province. So our thoughts and prayers are with you in these days. I want to read from God's word, and we'll have a little prayer, and then we'll share a few thoughts by way of testimony. Turn with me tonight to Romans chapter 10. Reverend Porter quoted from Psalm 66. We're turning tonight to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, we're going to commence reading at verse 13 to the end. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Amen. We know the Lord will stamp with his own approval and blessing this reading of his own precious word together. Let's have a little prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the wonderful sense of thy presence amongst us tonight. We bless thee for these old hymns of Zion whereby we've been praising and worshipping thee. And, O God, we ask thee now, as we've read together from thy sacred book, that thou wilt take thy word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Apply it tonight. Call sinners to repentance. Call thy saints to serve thee with a heart full of love for the honor and glory of thy name. We commit ourselves to thee to this end. Now, Lord, cleanse me in the precious blood, quickened by thy Spirit, and use this word of testimony as it's heard tonight in this house, as it's heard across the airwaves. Use it, we pray, for thy glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm thankful tonight that I've got a testimony to the saving and keeping power of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And as I share this personal word of testimony, I want to break it up into three parts. I want you to think of coming to salvation. Because the Bible says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when did I call upon the Lord? At the age of 18. Weekend before my 18th birthday. It was a Sabbath evening. I remember getting down on my knees, the side of my bed. At that time, I was living in a Roman Catholic lodging house, and I called upon the Lord. Lord, save me. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Save me, I pray, in Jesus' name. And we were singing there, a happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. And I wonder tonight, have you got that testimony? Can you talk about a date and a time in your life and your experience when you bowed the knee, confessed your sin to God, and asked the Lord to save you? Remember, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me, I perish." But not only think of when, but think of where. I was living at that time at 18 years of age in a Roman Catholic lodging house. And I knelt beside my bed, not in a church, not in a cathedral, but at the side of my bed, and I called out unto the Lord. Now, why? For two reasons. I had been given an invitation to come to a church service. Oh, it wasn't in a fancy cathedral or church building. It was actually in a tent. And it was in Roe Valley, outside the town of Limavady. And the preacher was the Reverend Sam Workman. Now, I'll tell you a little later of who invited me and why, but this man said to me to come with him to this service. And you know, I would say to you as God's people, a survey was done recently about should people go to church. And you know, 80% of people that attend church testify that somebody invited them to come. Come with me, family, friends, neighbours and strangers. And I'm sure we have the same in Carrie Duff. We have loads of empty seats and we'd love to see them filled up. And how are we going to get them filled up? Well, we can pray people to come, and that's tremendous, and we should do that. We could also put feet to our prayers, as the late Dr. Paisley used to say, and go to our friends, our families, our neighbours, our strangers, and invite them to come. And if they refuse and tell us to clear off, well, go back the next week and invite them again. And keep going back and inviting them until they're so embarrassed that they'll say, right, this is the only time I'm coming with you. And they will come and hear the gospel. Because remember, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And you see, I've asked the question, why did I call on the name of the Lord to be saved? And here's the root of the answer. Because that weekend, when I come into that meeting and heard the preaching of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and his personal work for the very first time, I came under conviction of sin. I discovered that I was a vile, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Now, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in Macrofelt. My mother died after we had moved to Belfast when I was age 5. I was, along with my brother and sister, found her dead in bed. And then I was taken then from Belfast in Albana Street to outside Coleraine, between Coleraine and Bush Mills, a little village called Drumadraw, where an aunt who was a God-fearing woman lived, and she sought her breast to bring me up. Now, my aunt, while she was a God-fearing woman and religious to a certain extent, she didn't go to church on a Sunday. But she sent me along, and we had to walk, my brother and I, 3 miles there and 3 miles back. They wouldn't do it today, but I had to do it. And there was a woman there, I can see her yet in the head, I'll not name her name, but she was there to watch that we always come into Sunday school and come into church. And if we didn't come in, then she told my aunt, and then, of course, you know what happened. We got a good thump round the ear, or it was a across the back of the legs with a Sally rod that you had for stacking up the Sweet William and the orange lilies. Well, you see, I remember at the age of 13, I told her one time, I'm not going back to church. Bunch of phony hypocrites, you know. These people come in on Sunday and they kneel down in little cushions and they pray a little prayer. And they're well-dressed and they've got hats on and they stand and they sing. And it's lovely singing. And one of my favourite hymns was Once in Royal David City. And the only reason I liked that hymn was because it mentioned my name. And David had a city. Well, who was David? Well, I was just thinking of myself. One day I'm going to own a city. See, I'm a young fella and I'm sitting in the pew. And my mind is all over the place. But I can see these people. You see, these are the very people that I'm living in this housing estate with. And I can hear them cursing Monday to Saturday. I can see them out in the pub, staggering home drunk on a Saturday night. Some of them are living immoral lives because women are having affairs with men and men are having affairs with women and young women. And this is all wrong. And yet they're in church on Sunday. Now, it's great to go to church. Do not get me wrong. It's right and proper that we attend the house of God in the Lord's day and hear the word of God and offer praise to God. But you know what the Bible says, and could say of many who sit in church pews, thine heart is not right in the sight of God. And these people were not right. They were hypocrites. And I remember saying that to my aunt. And boys, I tell you, there was one holy row and 13 B drum at draw. And David was battered black and blue and told, you're going back to church. And I said, I'm not. And I didn't. At the age of 16, I left my aunt's home. I have to tell you this, sadly, I was smoking before I was 11. I remember the first drink of alcohol that I got. It was a little glass of a thing called Trinidadian rum. It was like black tar, and I just put it to my lips and sucked away and went to sleep. That was my introduction to drink. See, I had no fear of God. I had no thought of God. I have to be honest, I didn't have any love for God. I had a Bible that was given to me from the Sunday school, Baldrashane Parish Church. I never read that Bible, even though that Bible had my name on it. As I told you, my favourite hymn was Once in Royal David City. And I liked singing it, especially at Christmas time. But I didn't really know what that meant. I didn't even know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born at Bethlehem. That's how ignorant I was. And you see, I wanted to serve my time as a carpenter. And I went off at 16 and I moved into this Roman Catholic lodging house. And I fell in with a group of people from Ballybogie. Some of you who know where Port Rush is, or Port Stewart, the opposite end of the country, you have to go through Ballybogie. Well, we called it Bogie. And there was a crowd of young fellas there, all around my age. One of them would be maybe familiar to us in the Free Presbyterian Church, a fella by the name of Jackson McVicar. Him and his brother Michael, we were great friends. We were mates. And we were found every weekend in Kelly's Discotheque, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. And you know, when Sunday come, poor David was penniless. Poor David would catch cigarettes from people. Poor David would borrow a few pounds and tell him, I'll pay it back next week. But by the time of 18 had come, drink had got a grip on David. Do you know, I was waking up, and I say this to my shame, with bad dreams. Sometimes I could see monsters coming out of the wall. Sometimes I think the ghosts were coming out of the wall for David. I would wake up on a park bench and not remember the night before. How did I get here? And a few weeks before my 18th birthday, a crowd of us were planning to get some experimental drugs from Londonderry. And I was in that bad a shape this morning in the joiner's workshop. There's this little man there. His name was Andy Alexander. And he was a good man. He didn't curse, he didn't smoke, and he didn't drink. And he went to church three times, twice on a Sunday, and he went once during the week to a prayer meeting. I thought, this must be a holy man. And I remember saying to Andy, just a few days before my 18th birthday, Andy, if the church is the answer, maybe I need to think about coming to church. And he put his arm around me, and this is what he said, and I'll never ever forget it. He said, David, the church hasn't the answer, but Jesus Christ has. Well, that meant deadly squat to David. The only church I knew was the Church of Ireland and the Presbyterian. That's how ignorant I was growing up in my little loyalist community. And at that time, he gave me the invitation to come to the meeting. And he told me about this tent mission that was coming up. And I want to take you along to hear this particular preacher. And I said to Andy, well, I'll think about it. And then I'll tell you what happened. On that Friday night, when I was actually in the tent mission, we quit early on a Friday. I was doing a little homer, was getting some extra money, you see, thinking about being less penniless through the week and some more to spend on drink. And this week, consignment of drugs was coming in from Londonderry, and I'd got to pay my share. And I was hanging this mahogany door in James's Street in Coleraine, and 12 little panes of glass in it. And I was saying to myself, now don't break the last pane. A little tiny hammer, a little tiny pin, some of you who are joiners might know, and I'm tacking away this little pane of glass, trying to get the putty round it. In those days it was putty, not this silicone stuff. And all of a sudden, didn't the pane break? Oh, what am I going to do? This was about near 4 o'clock. So James's Street was only a few streets away from where we were working in LMA Construction. Andy was still there. He was actually the foreman. And I knew he'd be in the storehouse, and I run down to Andy and said, oh, Andy, this calamity has happened. The pane of glass is broke. Will you cut me a pane of glass the same as this here? And I'll pay you for it. This is Andy. No. Oh, go on, Andy. I know it's coming up to 4 o'clock and you're thinking of kicking off here, but surely you'll do this wee thing for me. No. Oh, please, Andy. I'm near in tears. Because, you see, I couldn't leave the door the way it was, and I couldn't ask the woman for the money because somebody would break in. And please, Andy, please. And he says, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the pane of glass. I'll pay for it myself. But you come with me to the meeting. Oh, boy. Right, okay, right, Andy. So I fitted the pane of glass and got dressed up. Had a green bottle suit, cowboy boots, long hair and a ponytail. And I set off with Andy to go to this meeting. The only suit I had. Red polar neck jumper. I looked really well, I think. Thankfully, there's no photographs, no mobile phones in those days. But I went into the tent. There was 500 people there. It was packed. And the singing was like electrifying. And I could look up and I was near the back and there was these row of hats. And some of them had big feathers on. And I'm thinking, this thing must have cost a fortune. That's what I'm thinking. And this man got up to preach. Now, as I told you, I was brought up Church of Ireland. Sent to Sunday school. Sent to the services on the Sunday right up to I was 13 from I was 5. This wee man got up to preach. And he said, as he started off the meeting, he said this. He says, young man, you're in the meeting tonight, and you're trying to find life, and you're trying to find it in the dance floor, and getting blocked out of your head with alcohol, and smoking fags, and sexual fulfillment outside of marriage. And he says, you're lying in your bed at night, and you're not satisfied, and you're wondering, what is life all about? He says, come on with me, he says. I want to introduce you to the giver of life. John 10:10, he quoted, I'm come that you might have life, you might have it more abundant. He quoted John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He told the loveliest story of Jesus, the Son of God, who left the bosom of the Father and was born of the Virgin Mary. Lived a sinless life, died an atoning death. Christ died for our sins, he emphasized, rose again bodily from the dead, and has ascended and lives now for us and praying for us. And he says, I want you to come to Christ tonight. Well, do you know what? That very night, first time, good news of the gospel, the Holy Spirit was at work in David's heart. David came under conviction. I was convinced if I'd have dropped from the seat that I was sitting on in the tent, I'd have went straight down into hell. See, you didn't have to tell me I was a sinner, that I was guilty. I could say a few things that would really scare some people. It would only glorify the devil. Do you know, we did silly things as young people. Stood in people's bonnets, blocked out of her head. Smashed windows, stole their milk and laughed. That's only some of the devilment. See, sin was at work. I was under the control of sin and the power of the devil. But I sat in that meeting and I was starting to fear God. I was under conviction and I didn't know it. Andy drove me home, 14 miles. The agreement was, you leave me off at the bottom of Railway Street, because I'm going on to Portrush, I'm going to Kelly's, I'm going to meet the McVicar brothers and whoever else is down there. So Andy, we came out of that meeting and there wasn't a word. You talk about the quiet man, not one word. Not a word did he utter. We got the cool rain and he was turning right to go up Railway Street, would take us into James's Street. And he said to me, wee man, where are you going?
And I said, take me home, for I could not go to Kelly's. And I went in that Friday night, and all I could think about was, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Three words, they're in my head. And on that Saturday, when we were to go to get those drugs, I made an excuse that I was sick and couldn't go. You go on. I'll see you sometime. But you see, I was under conviction and didn't know it. And I'll tell you something else. I've told you when I got saved. And I told you where I got saved. And I've told you today why I got saved. Let me tell you the way I got saved. I got down on my knees. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter said, Lord, save me, I perish. And I have to tell you something. You see, that Sunday morning I got up. And from the age of 5 to 13, I went to the Church of Ireland. And on that Sunday morning, because I lived in Coleraine, I went to St. Patrick's Church in Coleraine. It wasn't the same as Ballyshane. It was St. Patrick's in Coleraine. And I went in because I felt this urge. I wanted to go to church. I don't know why, but it must have just been the work of God, the Holy Spirit. And I went in and I sat in this pew, and this woman came in with a number of children. And she said to me, why are you sitting there? That's our pew. We pay money for that pew. Why are you sitting in it? Well, do you know something? If my face was red, same as the jumper, it was redder. And I spluttered and spluttered and apologized and right there and got up. I got up and went out. Walked around the town, came into the graveyard and waited till the service was over. And I remember going in then, walking up the church, and I knocked on it was the rector's door. And he opened the door, he was taking off his gowns, and he said to me, young man, can I help you? And I said, yes, Reverend Sir, I would like to get saved. Now you'd have thought, well, that's great, come on, son. No, nobody said, young man, I'm sorry, there's not much I can do for you. I was in bits. I walked around Coleraine most of that day, and hell was real. My sin was real. I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? And in the providence of God, I met again my dear friend, Jackson McVicker. 10 o'clock at night, and I hadn't seen him for 2 years. This was Michael and the other Jackson's brother. This was really Uncle Jackson, an older man. He worked for us for a while, and then he went away. And I met him, and I said, Jackson, how are you? And talked a wee bit. Now, where have you been? And he says, I've been to Bible College. Well, what were you doing there? I thought he was working. You see, he was a joiner. Thought he was working there. And he says, no, I was studying the Bible. Why? Oh, he says, well, did you not hear that I got saved? Oh, Uncle Jackson, what's that? And then he started to tell me. Well, to cut a long story short, he gave me a little tract. The tract was very few words on it, just a drawing. God and man in union and communion in the beginning. And then God and man divided because of man's sin with the words, Romans 3 and 23 in the middle, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the next little drawn, it had man reaching out to God with prayers and good works and almsgiving and religiosity and everything you could imagine. But you know what? They all fell short in that gulf. For man's reaching out to God, they all fell short. They weren't reaching God's side, which was heaven. And then as I flicked it over, God and man, still the chasm in the middle, but this time it was a red cross. And in the middle of the cross was these words, I'm the way, the truth, the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And then a moment, it was as if my eyes had been opened, I seen it. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. It's not the church that saves. I was thinking about the church is the answer. But Andy was right, it's not the church that's the answer, it's Christ. And oh, that we could get that message across to nominal Protestant people and to our dear Roman Catholic people in our community, that it's not the church that saves, it's Christ. Go to Christ. Look to him as the man of sorrows. Look to him as the sinless one, the sacrificing one, the supplicating one, the saving one, the sovereign one. Oh, what a difference that makes. Let me tell you what happened. That night as I called on the Lord at 10 o'clock in that Roman Catholic lodging house, David got into bed and David slept soundly. David got up the next morning. I was taught by my uncle to smoke a cigarette called Park Drive. I don't know if they're still doing them.
But I remember taking the 10 Park Drive and throwing them into the waste paper bin. I don't need them. And I went next door. I lived in, I think, 56 in James Street, and there was a man next door, and I went and knocked his door. This is 10 minutes to 8 in the morning, and the man came down with his dressing gown on. I don't think I'd ever seen a man with a dressing gown. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he was a church man. I seen him going to church on a Sunday, and I said to him, "Could you get me a Bible?" And he says, "What do you want a Bible for?" I says, "I want to read it." He said, "That's great. Tell me this." He says, "When are you going to get saved?" I says, "What's that?" He says, "That's asking Jesus into your heart." I says, "Oh, I did that last night at 10 o'clock in that room up there." "What?" he says. And he shouts out to his wife, "Hallelujah, this young fellow's got saved." You see, 6 months before, at 4 o'clock in the morning, there was a bit of a row in James's Street. A few bottles were broken. I was lying in the road, and he wanted to get up out of bed and go and pull me in. And his wife says to him, "No, don't do that. He's under the stupor of drink. You might start a fight. Look, the best thing you do is to get down your knees at the side of the bed and pray for that young fella. Lord, save him." And I says, "Well, the Lord has answered prayer." I went to work early. He gave me a worker's edition of the New Testament that's underlined in red. I stood up on the joiner's workbench, and I called everybody round, about 20 men, young fellas as well. McVicker was there too. And I told them, "Boys, I've something to tell you." They all listened, thought I'd won the lottery. I says, "I've got saved. I've asked Jesus into my heart. No more cursing fags, no more boozing for David, no more womanizing. I'm a changed man." Do you know what? They all laughed. Imagine that. They all laughed. Some of them put bets on, and we'll have them back in the pub within a week. That was at the beginning of the 1980s, in the 18th of November. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God." I had become a new creature. That's coming to salvation. Very quickly, I want you to think of this: consecrated to service. Because you see, after I got saved, let me tell you, speak to the young people for a minute. You know the first thing David did? David started attending church on a Sunday. And I was then invited to the prayer meeting. Well, I'd never ever been in a prayer meeting before. I wonder, young people, have you been in the prayer meeting? Do you come to the prayer meetings in the church? And this dear lady, there was 12 ladies in the prayer. Thank God for the ladies. Ladies, if you're a godly praying mother, a godly praying granny, you just bow and thank God for such a mindset and such a spirit. Because that's what Ulster needs. We're at the loss of godly mothers who have a powerful influence in the home, because the hand that rocks the cradle, I believe, rules the home. Maybe we could even say rules the world in that sense. But these godly women knew how to pray. And one woman, she nudged me like us here, "You pray." This is my first time in the prayer meeting. I've never prayed in my life. I didn't even know what prayer was. And I says, "But sure, I can't pray." And she said, "Are you saved?" I said, "Yes." Well, she says, "You pray, thank you, Lord, for saving me." That's a prayer. And that was my first introduction to the prayer meeting. And those godly women taught me to kneel daily at the throne of grace and call on the Lord who hears and answers prayer. I had a desire then to read the Bible. It's great to have a Bible. You've been gifted Bibles here in this church, Sunday school, young people's meetings. Maybe for other reasons of labor and service. But it's not enough to have a Bible and to hold the Bible. We must read it. You must open the book. And let me tell you something else. 3 years after, Sammy Workman, by the way, was the preacher that night. He never knew that anybody had been converted that Friday night in the tent meeting. 3 years later, he's back in the Congregational Church in Coleraine, and I go and introduced to him by this man, Andy Alexander, and I have a desire for service. And a desire to go into Bible college. And I'm telling this to Sammy Workman. This I asked him, "Have you any advice for a young fella?" You know what he said? "Go home and read your Bible." Sorry? But I want to go and serve the Lord. I told you, go home and read your Bible. Start there. And you know, that was the best advice ever. Read your Bible.
And oh, we could get young people who would spend time every day reading their Bible and letting the Word of God be a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. I stood in the open air. My friends come. Some of them from Kelly's come. Look at him, the agent. He saw the light. Those people that I thought were my friends, my school chums from primary school into the secondary school, many of them didn't want to know me. Some of them wouldn't even speak to me. Some of them crossed the road to the other side. 3 years after I converted, I went into the faith mission. I spent 2 years training in the Bible college. Spent another couple of years then out in the work. And I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Preaching in the Highlands of Scotland and preaching in Bush Mills and in other places around Ballymena. Then in 1987, I got married to Rosie here, and I was called the same year to the Whitfield College of the Bible to train for the ministry. I trained for 4 years. I then assisted Dr. John Douglas, whom I really respect and love in the Lord, as we all do. I was his ministerial assistant for a few years, and also did a short spell in Donaghadee, Market Hill before that, and then 24 years ago, coming up in March, I was called to Carry Duff Free Presbyterian Church, where we've been laboring ever since, and the Lord has blessed us with 4 children. They're not children now, they're in their teens, and I would encourage you to pray for them. So there's not only coming to salvation, but there's a consecration to service. There's one other wee thing that I want to say. There has to be a commitment to sacrifice. I believe that. And you know, coming to Christ is one thing. Being in the service of the Lord, you have to be committed. Your time and your talent, your tithe, belongs to the Lord. And I want to tell you, even in the Christian life, because the Christian life, it's a wonderful life. It's a grand thing to be saved, be a Christian. Does that mean you're going to be trouble-free? No. Does that mean you're not going to have hurts along the way? Absolutely not. There'll be hallelujahs, but there'll also be many hurts. Let me just tell you one wee thing. I remember this in the very early days, and Rosie's here, and she could get up and give her own testimony, but Rosie, of course, supported me very much when I went through the 4 years in the Whitfield College of the Bible. She was working and I wasn't. And not only did she work in the school, but she also baked cakes at night, sometimes 3 a week, wedding cakes to help to fund our life down there where we were living outside the little village of Scarver or the village of Acton. But I remember on one occasion the electric bill came in. And the electric bill was not like today, it was £76. I'll never forget it. And it was a Tuesday. And I was thinking to myself, where are we going to get £76 to pay the electric bill? Well, that morning I went into the Bible college, and the Reverend Austin Allen, the late Austin Allen, was still living. And he said to me, oh, David, something's come up. We have an emergency meeting of some sort. Could you look after the prayer meeting tonight? Well, it was an honour to be in Tandragee and an honour to take the prayer meeting and to share a few thoughts and a few words. And as I was going out the door, Toss McHugh, he was the clerk of session, he handed me this basket and said, hey, you take that money with you. I said, Mr. McHugh, we would not need to count it. Oh, aye, right. Okay. So he counted it. Do you know what it was? £76. To the penny. There was the Lord undertaking, had already answered prayer. Before I call, before they call, I will answer. And you see, that's the type of commitment that's needed in serving the Lord. And I'm telling you, there's been many hardships, heartaches, there's been tears and traumas, but through it all, we've learned to trust the Lord. And if I say anything tonight in closing, it's this. The Bible says, blessed is the man who maketh the Lord his trust. The word blessed means happy, happy. Do not trust self. Do not trust your own ability or power, your own strength.
Trust in the Lord, and He will supply and meet your need. I leave this testimony with you and ask you this. Have you come to Christ for salvation? Can you talk about when and where and why and what happened to you? Are you in Christ tonight? I'm not asking you a member of Bethel Free Presbyterian Church. I'm not asking you if you're a Free Presbyterian even. Because really, while we're thankful to God for the Free Presbyterian Church, we have no monopoly in God or monopoly in God's Spirit. God's Spirit blows and works where God's Spirit wills to blow and work. And God has a remnant over this province, even outside our own church. We need to realize that. We need to understand that. Because salvation's not in the church. It's in Christ, and in Christ alone. And when you come to Him for salvation, you're consecrating yourself to serve Him. I will serve Him because I love Him. And I want to tell you, that's the key motivation for doing anything for God in this church, Sunday school, young people's fellowship, children's meetings, the Sunday services. The Reverend Porter here, why is he here every Sunday preaching the Word of God? Because the love of Christ is in his heart. Paul says that the love of Christ constraineth me. Why did Paul suffer all that he suffered? Imprisonment and impoverishment and everything else, abased and abound, because the love of Christ was in his heart. And oh, that we could come to a greater and a better understanding of the love of Christ. Because once we are consecrated to His service and the love of Christ is in our heart, then we're committed to that sacrifice. Because I close with this. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God, think of that, who He is. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice will be too great for me to make for Him. What sacrifices are you making for Christ? Your time, your talent, your tithe, your trust, let it be in Christ alone. The Lord bless you tonight. Thank you for listening. You've been wonderful. Thank you, Reverend Porter.
We're just going to turn, please, in closing in our hymn book tonight to the hymn number 274. 274 in your hymn book. I'd like to thank the Lord's servant tonight for coming and bringing that clear personal word of testimony. We thank the Lord for His saving grace in our brother's life many years ago and for keeping him and calling him into the work of the Lord and using him for His honor and glory. But our brother's just a sinner saved by grace. And friend, tonight he's told of how he trusted the Lord and trusted in Christ for salvation. If you're not saved tonight, you need to do the same. You need to put your faith, your trust in the Lord to know your sins forgiven and to be sure of heaven and to be ready to die and to leave this world. The hymn writer says here in 274, Lord, through the blood of the Lamb that was slain, cleansing for me, from all the guilt of my sins now I claim, cleansing from thee. Are you concerned tonight about your soul, about your sin? Come to Christ. Look to the Lord for cleansing through His blood. And then when you're saved, heed our brother's words of exhortation tonight and follow the Lord, serve the Lord, and consecrate your life to the Lord's service. And God will bless you and use you for His honor and for His glory. 274, we'll stand as we sing. We'll sing the first two verses and then the last verse. Verses 1, 2, and 4, standing as we sing and singing it with all of our heart. Let's stand as we sing.
Where?
prayer, but if there's one here tonight and there's a concern in your soul, you want to be saved, you know you need to be saved, then we urge you, don't go away without being saved. Come tonight, trust the Lord. The Bible says today, while you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you'd like to speak to the Lord's servant, the Reverend McLaughlin, after the meeting, he'll be no hurry away, but I know he'll be glad to take time with you and open up the Word of God with you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ alone, who is mighty, who is able, who is willing, and who's waiting to save you tonight and fit you for heaven and prepare you for eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us in the meeting house tonight. We thank thee for the singing of your praises, the reading of thy word. And we thank thee for the words of testimony for saving our brother many years ago in grace and in mercy, and for calling him to yourself in salvation, for all the way thou hast led him and blessed him and kept him even to this very hour. And Lord, bless those words of testimony to the encouragement of every Christian in this meeting to serve thee, to keep praying and witnessing for thee. Bless those words of testimony to any in our meeting tonight who are backslidden, maybe afar from the Lord. Restore such a one unto yourself tonight. The Lord, you have said in thy word that thou art married to the backslider. And bless the words of testimony to any with us tonight not saved. Lord, they maybe have heard the gospel in the past, yet, Lord, they've never came to Christ. They've never called upon the Lord for salvation. We pray that even tonight, Lord, that they would call upon the Lord and be saved. Answer prayer to this end. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies. Keep your hand upon us throughout this week for good. Bless our brother, his wife, and family. Encourage them in their ministry there and carried off. And use them there, Lord, we pray, as a witness, Lord, for thee in that part of thy vineyard. We thank thee tonight for a great Savior. We thank thee for a great salvation. Oh, help us to live in the light of what Christ has done for us day by day until Jesus comes or calls us home to glory. In his name we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.